subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
Hello?
Aldrin, how's it going, man?
Not bad.
Right on. So how's Hawaii? I had no idea that you were there right now.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I got here yesterday. Just trying to get acclimated to the time change.
Yeah, it's a bit of a time difference. I was a couple, 2-3 hours, I guess, hey?
6 hours for me.
Oh, six. Oh, you're the East Coast. Oh, okay. Where are you from? Yeah. Where do you normally live?
New York.
Okay. Right on. That's where you're training all that as well?
Yes. Yep.
Deadly. Well, dude, thank you, man, for taking some time to join us here in Vancouver, Canada with the Toddcast podcast. I want to get right into it, man. I'm curious about, like, when you're growing up, what did you want to be? Have you always kind of wanted to take the fight path?
No, I didn't know what I really wanted to do when I got older. It was just kind of just out there being a kid. I guess the main thing I had was hoop dreams, I guess.
Oh, really?
So a lot of kids have, from my neighborhood, at least from the friends I hung out with, everyone kind of wanted to go to the league or play basketball. For, you know, that was pretty much it. Just basketball, football, or be a musician slash rapper.
Right. And so what was it that kind of took you down that road?
The past MMA, man, I ended up becoming a wrestler.
I didn't
pan out with the NBA dreams or football dreams. I was 5'4", and my senior year it was pretty small. I was wrestling 119, and there wasn't much. It didn't seem like there was much hope for me.
Come on, you were 119 in senior.
I wrestled at 119.
Yeah, what are you now?
So I cut down. Yeah,
you're ripped now, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, I compete at 135, but I still cut down from about 160, 165 to get to the weight class.
Wow. And so like right out of the gate, you were kind of just, you excelled at wrestling and the rest is history kind of thing?
Yeah, my coach, well, the wrestling coach came up to me it was at the basketball tryouts. I made the first day, second day I didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And he told me, you're never going to be nothing bigger than 5'5". You should just come out for the wrestling team and see if you like it. If you don't like it, then you could just quit. And I said, all right, I'll give it a shot, because he's been trying to get me out since 9th grade. I ended up starting wrestling in 10th.
Okay.
And ever since then, I've been competing in college, and I was competing after that, and I kind of want to try out for the Olympics, but I was still, hey, I just started MMA, and I was like, you know what, I got to pick and choose which one I'm going to really put my energy into, and decided on MMA.
And does anything stand out about your first pro MMA fight?
It was, right after wrestling season, I lost the first match of the tournament. I was a 3 seed in the tournament, and lost to a guy I was supposed to kind of run through, and I lost by a point. I ended up coming back to wrestle all the way back and against 2 returning All-Americans, 1 national qualifier, and I managed to get back on the podium. So I ended up being a 2-time All-American, and that was pretty much the start. After that, I was ready in shape, and I said, you know what? Let's not lose any of this momentum and any of the progress we've made in terms of cardio and conditioning. And we just went straight out into it. I think about a month later, I had my first pro fight, and from there, I was like, this is it. We're making the jump, and here I am today.
Mm-hmm. And you're grinding to get to the UFC. What can you remember and tell us about the day that, and who also tells you that you're going to be signed with the UFC? How does that happen?
It's kind of like, the best way to describe it is like playing college football or any other sport before you go to the professional league, playing baseball. You do well, you get scouted, and you get a shot at the big leagues. And I would say the UFC is the equivalent of being in the NFL or the NBA or MLB.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you win a couple fights on the regional circuit, is what we call it, or you travel to a bunch of different circuits around the world or around the country, and a couple of wins. You do it in spectacular fashion, get a buzz going, and hopefully you get that phone call to your manager or to yourself. And that's what happened. I went 8-0, and I eventually got the phone call, And the rest is history.
That's cool, man. And I wonder if interleague fighting would ever happen, like a UFC, you know, you'd take on maybe somebody from Bellator.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder if that
Bellator
ever happened.
Bellator did that with Rizin.
Okay.
So that was actually pretty cool. So the Bellator champ fought Kyo Horiguchi, who was a former UFC fighter fought for the UFC world title at flyweight. He came up short in his title fight in the UFC, but he made a run over in Rizin, and he's been beating everyone up ever since. But he did take out the Bellator champ, so now they're going to have a rematch in Bellator against the champ versus Kyoji. So there's a potential chance that this may happen. I know the UFC is kind of shying away from doing that, but I think the more that it happens with the other organizations, the more pressure they're going to kind of feel to kind of want to, I guess, jump in the mix or seek opportunities to I guess, gain some revenue in a different lane.
Sure. I understand why their reluctancy maybe to want to do it, but, I mean, it's nothing but good for the sport, I think. Not that I'm running either company, but you know what I mean. How much tape will you watch of your opponents prior to fighting them?
I watch a pretty good amount. I almost want to say I watch all of them, but for the most part, if they're a veteran in the UFC, I try to watch all of their last 5-6 fights, because I think for the most part, you're pretty much the same fighter from that point. And I kind of look for growth. If there's changes being made through each fight, is the fighter evolving at all, or they're doing the same kind of techniques, and that kind of gives you an idea of what you're going to have that's going to be standing in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And going off of that, I think I've been doing pretty well with my homework. I mean, there's been some fights I didn't really study too much, and I will say those fights I didn't do too well in, but lesson learned, you know. But I definitely study a ton of tapes, because I think the more prepared you are for your exam, the greater chances you have to pass.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's probably, not that I'm a fighter, but I would think that would be like just walking that fine line of, you know what to expect of your opponent, but you don't want to get to the point where they're getting into your head because you're watching them so much and like, man, that guy's got a great heel hook. He's got, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to kind of psych yourself out, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they get to a point with diminishing returns. I think I only like watching it just to find the tendencies and what they like to do. And outside of that, then we try to game plan with my coaches what we can do to capitalize on some opportunities that present themselves, or what are we good at with our skill set that can offset some of the things that they do, or could possibly be used as a way to exploit one of their main strengths, I guess. Find the strengths, find the weaknesses. What ways can we use our strengths and weaknesses to avoid it or to exploit it or make something just to capitalize on the situation, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, the cool thing is that, of course, they're doing the same thing to you. So it's a really cool, you know, chess match when it comes down to it. You know, going through your Twitter timeline this morning, and Rafael Dos Anjos was chirping off at a tweet that you'd sent out talking about banning a certain type of kick. And I want to get into that a little bit. I think it's kind of a slippery slope to ban something in fighting. I understand the eye gouging, don't punch in the balls and stuff. But as soon as you start getting into certain kicks, and where does it end, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually thinking about that. I was going to actually discuss this on my podcast today. And I'm a day behind just because of all the traveling, so I didn't get to get it up yet. But
right.
It's kind of, like you said, it is a very slippery slope. You take away one thing that someone might be good at or that makes them a challenging competitor, and now you have I don't want to say evolve, but change your strategy or change your game plan of your book of techniques, because that technique can be used to set up other things, because now when the opponent is worried about that, they can't unconsciously just not run in with a strike and not be worried about their knee being hyperextended when they step in. So they have to be careful and kind of tread carefully of how they want to initiate an attack and things like that. So I think there's, when you start to take away certain things, it can make a fighter gain an advantage or fighters can lose their advantage that they had mm-hmm. over other opponents, because now that's a way. If you start taking away, I'm trying to think of one of the other stuff people were saying to take away.
Well, I mean, there's the one that we were talking about is a sidekick, and it's you know, it's obviously going to devastate the knee. But if you look at the same way, if you were to do a front kick to the knee as well, same thing. It would destroy a knee if it's, you know, placed properly and it was enough strength and everything else. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that for me, like, I understand the not the back of the heads, but you know, then what do you like? Okay, no more punching on the side of the head because the temple's real close. Do you know what I mean? Like, can't punch near the sternum because that's where the heart is, and it's better chance of a heart attack. And I don't know. It's an interesting examination of a sport where, of course, you know what to expect when you're getting into the ring. There's, or to the octagon, there's, you know, a chance that you might get really seriously injured, and you know that, and your opponent knows that.
Yeah, for, I don't know. For sure.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There was another one someone compared. I think it was one of the coaches actually gave his 2 cents on it, and he said, it's kind of like saying the 12-6 elbow, which is a legal technique, doesn't do any damage, but then you have attacks like that mm-hmm. that are probably just as dangerous. The only thing I said about that was, like, I don't really like elbows on the ground because, and I do elbows on the ground because I know how effective they are, but I mean, at the same time,
they're eating all of that force. There's no, you know, all the what's the energy called? Kinetic energy,
the momentum
and all that. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, when you're on your feet, your body is kind of absorbing that. When you're on the ground, or sorry, it's the other way around. When you're on the ground, your body's absorbing that. When you're on your feet, you know, there's, you know, it kind of moves around you. If you're pinned and you're getting elbowed in the head, like, you're taking all of that shot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, dude.
It's a rough sport, I'll say.
It is, man. It is, yeah. Of course, you know, you had this question was coming. Who do you think is at the top of the pile right now? Who's the best fighter pound for pound? Any UFC, Bellator, Strikeforce, anywhere? All time.
All time, pound for pound, best fighter right now. I'm going to have to say it's between two guys, I think. Actually, three. Now this is tough to say. I'm going to say if I had to pick somebody, it's got to be Khabib. I think it's Khabib, I would say, in this era of MMA. I think it's Khabib. You got Daniel Cormier, which is super tough.
Sure, he's tough.
The champ. But at the same time, there is a guy that he did lose to. And although there are a lot of asterisks next to those losses, it's still, you know, there is a guy that he did lose to twice. And when you look at John Jones, you got to also keep in mind the asterisk to a lot of those wins. And then on top of that, I would like to think that his division, even though he fought a lot of future, like former champions and things like that, I still think the age and the relevancy of those guys in this era of MMA are just not the same of when they were in their primes compared to the level of talent at 155. And I got a lot of heat for that, but I'm not saying that the guys at light heavyweight aren't good, but I will say light heavyweight and heavyweight are the thinner divisions in terms of age and overall skill set. I do think the way Khabib has been able to take out his opponent, where any one of those guys can actually be a champion on any given day, I think there's something to be said about that compared to 205. And I'm not saying John Jones is just really good. You can also say that, but at the same time,
great fighter.
Yeah, it's just like, is he really? I'm like, when you look at what he's doing, is he really, really that great? Or is the competition really, really just not all caught up yet to his skill set? You know what I mean? And like I said, it's a slippery slope in terms of the argument. It could go so many different ways to argue it. But I do think if you look at the entire division and the body of work that Khabib has been able to produce, I got to give it to Khabib.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, let's get outside of fighting and, of course, what you're known for. What TV shows right now are you binge watching?
I'm going to say binge watch. I mean, I watch everything. I kind of binged on them already, but, the ones I binged on were Billions, The Flash, Suits. What other ones? There were some good ones. I was watching DC's League of Justice for a while. It kind of stopped.
Okay.
I felt like it kind of got a little stagnant.
Ozarks is another good one. If you're, looking for a new one.
I heard of that. I didn't start it yet, but I heard about it.
And Titans.
Oh, and 911. That's actually a really good watch.
That is good, yeah. That is good. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
I'm going to say I do think there are other forms of life out there in the universe than just little planet Earth. So I think so. I think there's definitely been some. There's got to be another planet or species that's more sophisticated and intelligent than us, or just been around longer and probably figure out a way to get here and back, kind of thing.
Sure. I mean, it's a big universe, you know. Yeah. Teleportation. I mean, can you fold the universe and jump from one space of time to the next? Some people that are really, really smart think you can do that.
Now, that's just some wacky stuff. but I don't know, man. I'm not saying it can't happen because this, I don't know.
Time travel would be insane, wouldn't it? Where would you want to go if you could time travel?
Where would I want to go? I would like to check out the medieval times.
Dude, yes. Like, just to be the bystander and watch the shit go down, because it was insane.
Yeah. That and the Vikings.
Vikings. I'd like to do the cowboy thing, you know, the 1800s, and they got the showdown at noon, and everybody's, you know, on the sides of watching people having gunfights and shit. That's pretty crazy time.
I would like to do one of those matches, but if I lost, it's only if I can run back in time to kind of avoid that happening.
Exactly. What was your first concert?
My first concert is a little different. We call it like a dance hall show.
Okay.
We used to go to these in Jamaica all the time with my parents and just like reggae artists. But I want to say it was like Elephant Man and Bushy Bunton, and who's the other one? Not Capleton. There was another big one. Can't remember his name off right now, but yeah, we used to go to a lot of reggae concerts back in the day.
Oh, that's cool. Do you go to the theater very often?
Nah, not really. I didn't really grow up like the standard. Let me not say standard, but the normal or typical American way. I guess we grew up with Jamaican parents, you know, and they raised us as if we were in Jamaica, like the household, the things that the traditions in the home and things like that.
Right.
We're just a little different.
Hmm. Are you a comic book fan?
You know, this one's weird. I am a comic book fan, but I didn't actually have comic books. My parents never actually bought them for us.
Hmm.
But any chance I could get to read them in school or anything like that, I definitely would with my friends. But I didn't really get to collect them like some other kids got to. But I was always into like the Marvels and the DC characters and all that. I love that type of stuff.
Yeah, you still like right now into the... Have you seen the latest Avengers trailer they just released? Looks pretty good.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that. That one's going to be sick. Yeah. I got to go watch Captain Marvel, even though I don't really remember Captain Marvel when I was a kid. But
yeah, interesting. Like, as a huge comic book fan, personally, there wasn't a huge buzz around Captain Marvel when I was a kid collecting. There just wasn't.
It's an interesting choice for a movie, for a
standalone, yeah. If you could have one superpower, which power would you want to have?
One superpower? I mean, if I could be exactly like the person, I do like the Flash.
Yes. Such a cool power. And they did a really good job on that, the series, too.
Yes, it's been fun. I thought they were going to be like a corny character, but he's been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, super speed would be awesome. What's your take on legalized marijuana?
I think it's cool, man. I think if they do go that route, though, they got to start releasing all the people that they arrested for selling marijuana, I think. Right. You know?
Possession and everything else. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know the stats, but it, you know, from the stuff that I do remember reading and whatnot, the states incarcerate so many people from that, and it really is, you know, it's mind-blowing that they're in jail for smoking a joint on the street, or, you know what I mean? Like, they had a couple buds in the car or whatever, and they're in jail because of it. Like, what?
It's actually nuts. I think it's nuts. Absolutely absurd. But yeah.
It's
you
insane.
Know? We don't get to write the laws, you know?
And also, I don't know if you do this as with like other fighters do, but the CBD oil from that is incredible for the, you know, after a fight, just to kind of recuperate and everything else. It's really effective.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm with a company right now called Pure Spectrum, but I do use it. I use it from sometimes in the morning or after like a really hard training session.
Right.
I don't really know what it actually does, but I've been told it's been good for you. I've done some research on my own. I will say sometimes I've taken it when I've had a headache and I do feel better after like 20, 25 minutes, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's gotta be something going on, or I don't think it's like a placebo effect. So, you know, you sometimes you hear about certain things and you're not sure whether or not it's actually working or doing something. So I guess I kind of felt the same about that in the beginning, but I don't really know the scientific terms to explain stuff, but I do know the body has cannabinoid receptors in it. So there's gotta be something to it. It can't just be all talk, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know. A couple more questions, and thank you again, Aljamain, for doing this with us today. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Oh, yeah. Man, I was actually talking about this the other day. This the main one. I mean, there's been some shootouts and stuff like that, but I think I was, I don't want to say far enough from the action, but, cause, you know, I guess bullets don't have names on them. Is what we used to say growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to a couple parties, but I would like to think that being on the other side of the room might have protected me because a lot of people were in front of me. But I've actually had experiences, what's it called? The Adirondack, the High Peaks. I remember one time the professor that was with us in our group, they're not like supposed to intervene with us. They're supposed to just be the supervisor and make sure everything's okay. But we had a girl that ended up spraining her ankle trying to do what all the boys were doing and trying to climb the mountains and the High Peaks as fast as we were doing it. And she ended up hurting herself.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, the professor kind of disappeared in the middle of the night. And then the next day, we were in the High Peaks. And mind you, when we're in there, we have to take a backpack. This is part of our curriculum for physical education towards your senior year. I guess it's kind of smart to wait till you're a senior to have kids doing stuff like this on their own. And you pack your backpacks with all the equipment and things, food and amount of stuff that you feel you're going to need in order to survive that 1 week in the wilderness.
Wow.
And everyone's got to take something, you know? So if you don't bring enough food or water or stuff to help, iodine for water, then you're pretty much going to have some near starving or things like that. It's just pretty survival of the, it's like a competition, but it's not a competition. It's just teaching you how to survive. And it was cool, but scary at the same time as being a kid. But mm-hmm. The professor left in the middle of the night. The next day we wake up and we're all debating whether or not we should go out. The boys are kind of like, well, we kind of want to climb the peaks. And the girls are like, nah, we kind of want to just hang out. Let's just hang out here and kind of just party a little bit, you know, kind of enjoy the day and enjoy the sun. And sure enough, the boys decide to leave. We're like, all right, we'll be back in like 2 hours. We go try to climb these two high peaks that were nearby. We follow the trail. We take our papers with us, our maps. And we get to this one. I forget what it was called, but it gets to the point where it's so inclined. Like, the incline is so crazy, so steep. They have these iron, like, rods, like, embedded into the rocks. Mm-hmm. And then there's these, like, ropes that propel from the hooks. So you have to climb like with the backpack sideways and you're going up.
Wow.
And guess out of nowhere it starts pouring, but it was raining before we even got to the top, but we didn't think the top part was going to be like that. So when we get to the top, we're climbing the rocks and then it automatically just like suddenly just changes like the status of the rocks. And we start climbing and it was the scariest thing because I'm over here thinking, dude, if I lose my grip on this, I am done. I'm out for the count. This is not the way I imagined going out.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's crazy downpour. We managed to get to the top, and then after that, instead of climbing the second high peak, I told the guys, like, listen, man, we got to go back, because that was the scariest and most traumatic thing I've ever had, I think I've ever had happen to me. Like, I felt like I was legit staring death in the face, because it was like this rubber thing. I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe it was like polyester or something, but I mean, they did a good job anchoring it into the mountain, but man, at such an angle where if you slip, you're pretty much done. I was like, I think I had enough, especially in the rain. If it was dry, it wouldn't be a problem, but I'm over here pissing my pants thinking like, dude, I might slip, and this is, I don't know. I try not to look down. It was pretty scary. That was an interesting trip, and
yeah, man.
Definitely eye-opening.
Yeah, no kidding. And the toughest question, what's been your career highlight thus far?
I mean, being ranked in the top five has been cool. I was there when I was 4-0. I signed my new contract, and I was waiting for the next big fight. Had I called this guy out, had I won, I would have been the next guy in line to fight for the world title. I came up short, and I had two more opportunities, and I dropped the ball. And then I always told myself, third time's a charm. The second one wasn't really an opportunity, because the first one was a loss by split decision. But then I lost the next one, so that bounced me out of the top 10 and out of the top five. And then I fought another guy, Marlon, and I took a devastating knee, which put me out. And that bounced me out in terms of competition. So you're in the top 10 and you fight guys who are within the same vicinity, or mm-hmm. fights that matter, fights that can get you to the top five and eventually the top three spot where you could eventually challenge for the title. So it was kind of like you take these fights in steps. So after I lost that one by the knockout, I fought a guy who was ranked, he was undefeated, but he was ranked in the top 15. And then the next guy was ranked he was ranked 10th. So I had to really battle my way back. And then my last fight that I just won, the guy was ranked 5th in the world. And that was the win to put me over the hump, and now I'm ranked 3rd in the world. So I would say that's probably the most career, that was my biggest career highlight, I would say. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that was my best performance today, and I do too, in terms of complete overall domination from top to bottom. I think that put the stamp and put the rest of the division on notice that I'm a true threat to that bantamweight throne.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally 100% agree, and I'm looking forward to more fights.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even know you watched, but...
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely, yeah. You are at Funkmaster_UFC on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yep.
Dude, thank you again for doing this and joining us here in Vancouver, and I guess we'll see you in the fights, and we'll see you online.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Toddcast Podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter @ToddCastPodcast.